Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Welcome to the good fight. But what you are about to witness is something unexpected, something that can be misunderstood, something that can be misapplied. But this is going to be a fight! But we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness, against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered. So fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. This is a fight that none of us can escape. And if you do, you will lose. Now, let's get ready to rumble!
Fighting. They train for it in places just like this one. The workouts are long, hard, grueling, and unending. And it's all for one thing, that when the bell rings and the match ends, that they have won the fight. That's right. Everything that they have done up to this point is to gain the confidence that they will be a champion in the end. But fighting doesn't only happen in places like this one. It happens every day all around the world. Civilization for centuries have fought with one another in the battlefields as well as in the courts, in the coliseums, and in the streets. We've spilled each other's blood in foreign lands as well as on our own soil. And we read about it every day, don't we? Terrorism, that takes lives indiscriminately. Or in the Middle East, where the Palestinians and Israelis have been fighting for decades. Unresolved anger rages until somebody is dead. And then there's domestic abuse right here in our own backyards. Families breaking apart. Crime and fighting in the streets of America, bullying in the schools, it's all around us. And the reason? Why, James in the Bible sums it up best. He says this, "Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it, so you fight and quarrel to take it away from them." He was right, wasn't he? Fighting. It's become a way of life, hasn't it? And wouldn't you think that it would be wonderful and great if all of this fighting and resistance were suddenly ended? But before we come to that conclusion, let's pause, because there's a twist here. Not all fighting may be bad, because there's something that God calls the good fight. There are good fights? Yep, there are. These fights you don't want to drop out of. These are the fights you must win. There are some fights that are unnecessary, and we need to abandon them as soon as we can. But there are some fights that are absolutely vital. And we need to understand the difference between a good fight and a bad fight. Let's talk a while about what the Bible calls the good fight. Paul wrote to his young protege, Timothy, and said, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, that you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience." Life's greatest battles are not always fought on the combat zones of foreign lands. This war is not taking place in Afghanistan or Africa or in the Middle East. It's in the middle of our hearts. Yep, the battlefield is within us. And we're engaged in a struggle that tugs at us every single day. Listen to what Paul, the apostle, said in Romans chapter 7. He said this, "I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another law that's at work within me, and it's at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life?" Here, Paul talks about a battle that we cannot afford to lose. It's called the good fight. Sometimes I fight battles I shouldn't, and the ones I should, I don't. I need to know the difference and realize that there are some bad fights, and then there are some good fights. That's what the Bible says. There are some fights that are unnecessary, but there are some that are. And we need to understand the difference. For example, the fight to keep your faith intact, the fight or the struggle to keep your integrity, your purity, your commitments, because sometimes it's a fight, or your loyalty. And with each of these, if you throw in the towel and you give up the fight, why, that could mean the end of a marriage or a home, the end of a friendship, your faith, a commitment, a life that could have been an example to many. You see, these sterling character qualities will always be challenged. No matter how often you want to give up, we must not. I remember a line from Mark that Jesus said, which always baffled me. This is what he said, "For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what will make it salty again? Everyone will be salted with fire, and salt is good." I didn't know what God was saying, but as I looked at it and mused on it, I understood that God was saying that everyone will face struggles. Now, we can't pre-program our lives to circumvent those. Okay, I understood that. But then Jesus said this, "Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what will you do?" Now, I wondered, how can salt become unsalty? Here's what he's saying. He's saying that when I stop struggling over things that I should struggle over, when I give up and toss an important relationship aside, when I throw in the towel on my marriage or I stop wrestling with a sexual attraction and just give into it, that's when salt has lost its saltiness. It's no longer something I struggle with because I surrender. And what could have been a victory ends up a failure. And what could have brought a more stalwart faith only brings regret. When I stop struggling to overcome temptation and I just cave in, or when I cease trying to discipline myself and surrender to mediocrity, or when I give in to grumbling even though I know it's destructive, or when I don't want to wrestle anymore against compromise, I give up the fight. Or maybe when I surrender to discouragement and it dilutes my faith and brings only a barrage of doubts. That's what he's talking about. And when giving in or giving up becomes my MO, then it's difficult to regain a sense of balance again. That's what he's saying. I then find it easy or normal to just rationalize my actions for giving in. And when I do, life is no longer the struggle in order to win. It becomes a failure, and I've lost the good fight. And that is one fight you don't ever want to give up on.
A loss of home, a separation, and then diagnosis of cancer, going through cancer treatments, and then a divorce, and then the loss of my husband. That all happened within a year and a half.
I was actually raised in the church when I was younger, so I was one of those lost sheep.
I was at a really thriving church as an associate pastor.
A year and a half later, the loss of my job.
The church went from 4,500 over a period of 2 years to half of that.
I didn't know God, and I was really living kind of a dangerous sort of life.
Just seeing not just the decline, but how it declined was, it was almost brutal.
I was really unsure of whether I would be able to parent this child.
People would say, Nutty, how are you doing? And I said, hanging on. I'm hanging on to the hem of Jesus.
I wanted to leave. I had, in fact, put in for resignation.
Sometimes, you know, you go through a deep, deep valley, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then when you finally come out, and you say, oh, Lord, I've made it this time.
And I think it was worth the stay, not only for me, but for my family, for the people that I got to serve.
And now she's six, and she's just the most amazing child. She's the best daughter ever.
He has made you stronger. You become stronger. Your character is different. Your strength and your faith has gone up to tremendous levels.
So it was worth the fight. It was worth the stay to just hang in there and suck it up.
How often, as I think back, have I fought over things I shouldn't have, and the things I should have, I didn't. I died on hills I shouldn't have died on, and the ones that I should have been stalwart on, I retreated. But here's some good news. God is in your corner. That's right. He'll be there to help you to see the difference between a good fight and a bad fight. He'll help you to see the real opponents, who they are, and he'll help you to distinguish them from the decoys. Listen to what the Bible says about this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, "We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms." You see, the real opponent that you're fighting against isn't your spouse. I mean, it often will seem that way, but it's more the enemy of your soul that's using your spouse to force you to give up on your faith. And when you do that, then you'll give up on your marriage. Your enemy is not really your boss. It's not your neighbor, or your parents, or your kids, your situation. No, how often we are found fighting the wrong things. And if we're not careful, we can actually begin to fight against the very ones who are on our side. We begin to argue with the ones who are most committed to us. And the enemy, the adversary of our souls, just cackles with glee as he witnesses our misaligned anger. And sometimes, we can even find ourselves fighting against God and not know it. I remember some years ago, Anna and I were having some troubles in our marriage, and we weren't talking at all. It wasn't my fault. And my brother, who is an electrician, came over to visit me right in the midst of this ordeal, this silent treatment that had been going on for a few days. And I was venting to him what was happening. And this is what he said to me. He said, Wayne, when Edie, his wife, when Edie and I have this problem, he said, I take a hold of her hand and we go to our knees and we pray against the enemy of our souls trying to split us apart. Otherwise, we'll fight against each other, and that's the wrong fight. It's a bad fight. But when he said that, it just rang true in my heart, and I thought, oh, I need to do that. But then I thought, now, wait a minute. I'm the pastor. He's the electrician. But that night, I remember when Anna and I went to bed, we were miles apart on the king-size bed. She's at one end of the cliff, and I was at the other. But I remember the Lord reminding me and saying, you take a hold of her hand and you pray. So I remember reaching out my hand over the covers, trying to reach towards her, and then I brought it back in, retreated it. I thought, no, I don't think I want to do this. But then I thought, no, I've just got to. And I remember tapping her. Anna, are you awake? Yeah, she said, I'm awake. I said, could we pray? Yeah, she said, let's pray. So I remember getting out of bed, taking her hand, just like my brother had said, and we got on our knees, and I began to pray, and I came against the devil who was trying to steal our marriage and our relationship. And as soon as I said, in Jesus' name, amen, the smoke alarm in our bedroom went off, and it just let off this shriek, and we started laughing, and I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and my wife said to me, what are you laughing about? I said to her, well, I think when we prayed and put our fight in the right place, it must have scared the devil so much that he fled so fast out of here that when he went out, he smoked on the way out. How often, I think, have we fought against the wrong opponent? Acts chapter 5 tells us that if we don't know what this good fight is, it says, you may even be found fighting against God. Like a boxer, tired and weary and fatigued and in the corner, where they begin fighting with his own coach.
Listen to me.
I'm gonna knock him out.
No, you need to listen to me.
Get out of my way.
Be smart now.
Or maybe with the referee or with one of the fans, and he wastes his energy in the wrong place. It's a wrong fight. Let me ask you a question. Been fighting any bad fights lately? Can you identify what the good fight is and what a bad or a wrong fight is? Because if you can, that'd make all the difference in the world. Peter was one who knew about the good fight and the bad fights. He knew the consequences of not being able to tell them apart. And he found himself fighting against God's very will. In fact, even Jesus said to him one day, Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. You see, it's Satan's goal to get you to fight the wrong fights. And in doing so, we destroy our own soul, our own marriages. We defeat our own futures, and we begin to compromise our own faith. And that's why Peter later tells us to stay vigilant. He says this, be aware of the good fight that's happening all the time, and don't get complacent. Read these words with me. Here it is. Go. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter is saying here to keep your guard up. Don't be lulled to sleep. You see, the enemy is waiting for you to drop your guard. There are a lot of bad things about the enemy of our souls, but there's one thing he's good at. Patience. He's like a sniper that waits for the right shot. The enemy waits until you're complacent about your faith or smug about your finances, and you leave unresolved hurts in your marriage. You're feeling bulletproof, invincible, and you drop your guard, and that's when he strikes. In Luke chapter 4, we find these words. And the devil left for a more opportune moment. Opportune moment, you ask? That's right. They come when you least expect it. That's when you're the most vulnerable, When you're hungry, hungry for success, or hungry for promotion, hungry for companionship, for attention, that's when you begin to cut a few corners and you leave a few loose ends dangling. Or you just get too busy for devotions or maintaining your marriage or your faith. We start to deprioritize God because we just don't have the time. When you let your anger or lust or wrong desires run amok for a while and you stop, here it is, fighting the good fight. And when that happens, the devil can smell it from a mile away, and that's when he strikes. God might be saying that to some of you even now. Maybe you're dropping your guard and you've grown weary of resisting the enemy's attacks and he's worn you down. You're tired of fighting the good fight. You want to throw in the towel. I know what that feels like, but don't do it. Remember that God is in your corner, and like he said to Peter, he's praying for you that your faith may not fail. So let him encourage you. Go to him. He's in your corner. In fact, the Bible says it this way, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take that rest. It comes from him who will strengthen your soul for the good fight. And I promise you, when you take his rest and his strength, you will win. God used Paul the Apostle to plant many churches and to write nearly half the New Testament. And toward the end of his life, Paul focused on one thing that he felt he did well at, which made his life worthwhile. Here's what he said. Listen, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." You see, Paul understood the good fight from the bad ones, and he didn't bail out on his faith. He finished the course, and now he was assured that there was a crown of righteousness, or the belt of a champion, waiting for him. Each of us is going to be involved in the good fight. That's a fight that never ends, and it's a fight we must never lose. And in the end, the same reward awaits you and me. God says, abandon bad fights, but together we will win the good fight. And when you do, in the future, there is laid up for you and me the championship belt, the crown of righteousness, which God will award to you. You watch, you wait, you'll see.